Hello, everybody. Oh, I've had a message burning on my heart, and I'm not sure where I'm going to go with it. But I'm going to have to backtrack a bit. So for those of you who weren't here in 2012 and have joined us since, I'll give you a brief thing. I painted a picture. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I painted a picture because I listened to a message and a man on the screen shouted, "It's time to run with the things of God." And it hit me, and it made me flop over. When I came back to it, it was like, I need to paint a picture. Most random thing I think I ever thought. I painted this picture. Most of you have seen it. Not really. It's not about that. It's about what the message was. The picture was of a man, an athlete, who was running with a torch, a burning torch in one hand, and a scroll, open scroll in the other, so representing the life and the fire of God and also the word of God. And he was running, kind of taking the light with him. It was dark all around, and he was running past Big Ben, and Big Ben was at 2 minutes to midnight. So that was in 2012. And the message that was on my heart at the time, I heard a shofar blow, and I felt that the Lord said that your nation is crying out, but they don't even know what they're crying out for or who to, but they're crying. This was in 2012. So that message got taken elsewhere. A minister that we know has spoken here before, he took the picture and he took it around the country with a prophetic word he had for our nation. Fast forward, that's just then. Fast forward to this year, August 21st, and there was a solar eclipse. We didn't see the full solar eclipse here, did we? We just had we didn't even see the partial because, as usual, it was cloudy. But there was a partial solar eclipse here. The full one was in the States. I happened to be online chatting to my friend who took her phone out in the garden and was trying to show me. It didn't work too well, but, you know, I kind of partook of this solar eclipse kind of thing. When she was finished, I thought, I'm going to run outside, stand at the end of my driveway and see if I can see just a bit, because I knew that the moon was just going to go across the bottom of the sun. When I got outside and looked up, there was clouds everywhere. So I just stood there for a minute and shut my eyes. And I had like a vision I experienced as though I was in the heavens. I was seeing the actual eclipse take place. I mean, I wasn't literally there. I was just seeing something. I was imagining, but I think with Holy Spirit. I saw the moon coming over. But, you know, in those movies, when you're in the, like, 4D movies and there's the boom, boom, boom speakers coming out as things go slow motion, I heard the sound as though it was like, with the moon coming over. It froze and it stopped there for a minute and everything was dark, a little bit like when Jesus died. And then suddenly, out came the sun from behind. They call it the diamond ring, don't they? And I felt like the ground shook. This is all in the vision. It was obviously not for real. I'm just explaining what the Lord was saying to me. And I was a bit overcome by it. Wasn't quite sure what it meant. I'm literally about to go back into my front door, and the local Cheddar church bells started ringing. And my head's kind of like, the church bells are ringing. I don't know what it means. It means something. I went back inside and I thought, oh, I missed it, but I'll see if I can see footage of it on the BBC website. So I logged straight away onto BBC News, and up came a picture of Big Ben at 12 exactly. And I looked at it. I had my picture hanging on the wall behind me, and it was as though God just did with all the pieces, and I sat there and I realized the circle of the flame that I painted in this picture also looked like a solar eclipse, and it looked like the sun coming out from behind the moon. And I'd been hearing the Lord say to me for a couple of weeks, reset. He kept saying, reset, we're in reset. And he'd been speaking a scripture to me, Isaiah 43. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And I said to the Lord, well, some people think this solar eclipse is a sign of gloom and doom. What do you think? And he said, what do you see when you look at the solar eclipse? Do you see the moon going over the sun? or the sun coming out from behind the moon. I was like, wow. With God, there's always both and. So the reality is, it is a sign and a warning. Yeah. But that depends on where you stand as to what that looks like. So I had this whole thing in my heart. There's a reset. Something new is beginning. So I went around telling people, guess what? It's great. It's awesome. It's all new. It's reset. And within about a week, my life just got worse and worse, and things got harder and harder. I'm like, it's reset. It's really good. It's all new. And I'm like, doing it between grit and cheek because I'm thinking, it's not feeling it. I can't say I've actually even entered into it now. Things have been really tough the last few weeks again. But the reality is, what am I looking at? Am I going to look at the moon or am I going to look at the sun? So we went to a conference a couple of weekends ago. Some speakers you might have heard of, Daniel Kalender, who is the man that's taken over from Reinhard Bonnke. It was his conference. There was another guy called Nathan Morris. He's the preacher who originally yelled, it's time to run with the things of God. So he's responsible for me painting the painting. Oh, God is, obviously, but... there's another guy called Eric Gilmore, who we'd not heard before, who was incredible, talking about the presence of God. And who have I missed? Todd White. So it was an incredible weekend. But what shook me was that Nathan and Daniel, on the flight over from the States, had both sought the Lord about a word for the nation. And both of them were going to preach on it, but Nathan got in first. So Daniel goes, I won't preach on it, but God has given us the same word. He's given us Isaiah 43 for your nation. Do not remember the former things. Consider the old things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. And I was just overwhelmed. I'm like, wow, this is the reality. This is the truth. This is what God is speaking over our nation right now. Whether we can see it does not matter. Whether we can see it in our families, whether we can see it in our church life, in our neighborhood, it doesn't matter. If God has said it, it's the truth. So I'm starting from that position this morning. I may not be feeling it. I've got a stonking headache, but never mind. That's not the issue. The issue is, what is God saying? So I was going to talk on lifestyle as a Christian, because Paul gave us a whole load of subjects, and I was thinking, lifestyle, I think lifestyle. And so I felt the Holy Spirit whisper, look up Christian in the dictionary. So I Googled the Cambridge version of... Christianity is belonging to a religion based on the teachings of Jesus, an organization or charity, a person that is good and kind. I was like, really? Is that what Christian is? I don't want to be one then. And then I looked up dictionary.com, and they said, a follower or disciple of Jesus, someone who believes Jesus is the Christ or Messiah. The New Testament mentions that the followers of Jesus were first called Christians within a few years after his death. I was like, okay, let's rename this message lifestyle as a follower of Jesus, rather than lifestyle as a Christian in that case. And that's where this message started from. I'm like, I follow Jesus. What does follow Jesus mean? What does it mean to follow Jesus? So I thought, well, the disciples followed Jesus. Let's have a look at what they thought. And that's where this has come from. So Matthew 4, verses 12 to 22, it talks about when Jesus is first stepping out and he calls the first disciples to follow him. Now, he was doing this having left Nazareth, and he's gone down to the Sea of Galilee where the fishermen are. And it was prophesied that this would happen. It said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. And it said, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, it says, immediately, they left their nets and they followed him. Then going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately, says it again, they left the boat and their father and followed him. I mean, that's a big deal. That was their livelihood and their families. I mean, he must have been carrying some authority for you to do that, mustn't he? You know, like, I know that I've read a little bit about it, that the rabbis, you know, it was an honor to be asked by a rabbi to go and follow him, and that you would. So from a certain point of view, I don't think rabbis would normally ask fishermen to follow them anyway. So there was that element of, you're asking me, but I'm just a fisherman. And this is kind of the level I want to get to this morning, to each of us. You're asking us, but we just live in Somerset. It's true. We have a Somerset mindset. We think God won't use us. We think he uses people in cities. It's true. If you really asked your heart that, what would you say? You'd be like, oh, well, the big churches and the big names. That's not God's heart. What they were saying at the conference the last few weekends ago was, please don't look at what God has done in our lives and let that put you off. Our intention is to tell you the amazing stories that Jesus does, not so that you go home and go, wow, it's all right for them, they're amazing. It's actually for you to go, who am I in my day-to-day life? What am I called to? Not to be the same as you, because not everyone is called to evangelize millions of people in Africa. Because if we all went there, there'd be nobody here, would there? But is the reality of what is God asking us as individuals to do? So we have to break the chains off our Somerset mindsets. It's a lie to stop us from seeing him come alive in this place. So I thought I'd have a think about what it must have been like for the disciples if they're following Jesus. Well, it's all easy now, right? Because we're following Jesus, yay. Huh? No. Actually got really difficult as soon as they started following. They thought it would get really clear, I guess. It got really confusing. Jesus, you have an important message to deliver, and those adults are being interrupted because of the children. Could you sort the children out, Jesus? What, you want them to be let right in to sit with you? But we couldn't see the whole picture because, Jesus, you wanted us to learn that in simple childlike trust we would enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, you're being mobbed by a whole crowd and you want to know who touched you. We didn't see the whole picture, but you knew, Jesus. You knew that someone had just received healing from a long-term illness by touching you. Jesus, you're telling us that you have food which we know nothing about. Well, we don't see you eat any. You don't even have a bag. And then, with just two fish and five loaves, we want to go and feed 5,000 men? Really? And all their wives and their children? Well, that's getting a bit ridiculous. But we didn't know the whole picture. We didn't know that the abundance and multiplicational principles of heaven were completely opposite to the earth. Jesus, you tell us to go out in a boat, and you know everything, so you must have known there was a storm about to hit and we're all going to die. And then you come out walking to us on water and we think you're a ghost. I mean, it's not all that easy for them, is it? Peter gets it in his head to go and prove that it's you by going out and walking like, Peter, you're going to die. But actually, we didn't know that there was so much God-given power in you that you defied the laws of gravity. And you wanted us to learn that there's nothing impossible with you, but that we must keep looking at you and taking your hand and following you. There was another time when the storm whips up and you just go to sleep. Jesus. And then you command those waves, and they are instantly still. We didn't understand. Why would you just sleep? Is my microphone still working? Yes, right. We didn't have the whole picture. We didn't know that you would command those waves to be still, and you carried an inner peace authority that you wanted us to learn to carry too. And then, Jesus, one of your really good friends, Mary's brother Lazarus, is really sick. You have the power to heal him, and you say that his sickness won't end in death. But he dies. You say it's for the glory of God. I mean, how could that be loving? Only after he's been dead for several days do you even go. Did you just go to visit his grave? Now he's dead. And you haven't even healed him when you could have done. I mean, we're all very tempted to think that. And we've been getting to know you better, but, you know, this is just going a bit too far, Lord. But we did not see this coming. Not only did you have power to heal, but you could resurrect. And you needed us to learn that too. Yeah, because one day we were going to see people resurrect. But more to the point, you wanted us to be prepared for when you died, because you were going to resurrect too. Jesus, we didn't see the whole picture. You called us and we followed. And after that, it was like a major assault on our senses. Everything you did turned what we had on its head. Nothing was clear, not for a long time. All the time as we got to know you more, the enemy kept whispering doubts and fears. For a long time, it was just crazy. And yet we did keep following you, because each new thing we learned from experiencing you in person, in relationship, working on a daily basis, proved to us how much more there was to know about you, how much it was incredible that you invited us along to partake of your journey and that all you were up to. Maybe that was how it was for disciples, I don't know. But how about us? How does that relate? What if we haven't got Jesus treading his sandals in the Somerset lanes right now to literally follow his feet? I mean, we don't really have him turn up and ring the doorbell and say, drop your housework, come follow me, do we? It's not quite the same. Or maybe in the office, call down to the receptionist, could you just ask whoever's upstairs to come down and cancel their meetings for the day and follow me? I mean, that's what it would look like today, right? But what does it look like then, if he's not literally physically standing there doing that? Well, I believe that actually Jesus is treading the paths of Somerset, and he is knocking on our hearts, and he has been calling us. I actually think he's been calling all of us. He's been calling us that it's time to run with the things of God for sure. And he's telling us it's a new season. For sure, for sure. Because that's not just because I said. That's been confirmed. He's saying we're in a new season. So if he's calling us, why haven't we responded perhaps? Or what are we doing with that call? And how about our hearing? How's our hearing? Because you see, you can't hear someone call if your hearing's not too good. So I wanted to talk a little bit about hearing him. Isaiah 55 verse 3, it says, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. But in Matthew 13, it's verses 14 to 16. Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower. He's explaining about the seed. And I believe that the seed is the word. And the ground is our hearts. And so the seed gets planted in our hearts. And depending on the condition of them, depends on how long that seed hangs out. Whether it dries up, or whether it grows, whether it gets choked up, scorched up, or whether it becomes life in us. Because the word is sent to produce life, right? So we're responsible for our hearts, and depending on how our hearts are, depends on how much we hear. So if we feel like we can't hear God too much, here's a top tip. Get your heart in order. And we've all got areas of our hearts that need getting in order. But he said, after we talked about the parable, he said, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. He's actually quoting from Isaiah 6. And seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull and their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But then he says to the disciples, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears, for they hear. So there's the sun and the moon again. The word's going forth. Are we going to see the moon and have hard hearts? We're going to see the sun and hear the truth and let it set us free. So I'm not going to focus too much on that. I'm conscious of time. Personal testimony. I grew up not knowing that I could hear God, actually hear him. I knew that he spoke to me through the scriptures. That was as far as I knew. And I loved him. And I followed him. But I was lukewarm because of it. Because I didn't have a full relationship with him. Because I couldn't hear him. And it was when Ellen was born. And it was 911, and she was only 9 months old. And I watched the TV screen, and one of my neighbors said, "We're in a new season. This alarms me, watching 911. And I thought to myself, I'm lukewarm. I don't know why I thought that. I just suddenly thought, I'm lukewarm. How am I going to be a good mummy? How am I going to lead Ellen if I'm not in the right place with God? That was where it started. Well, then, as you know, things went extremely pear-shaped. But I went to God, and I knelt down. And I said, make me real, God. And from that place of saying, make me real, he started to shake out everything that was in my heart that shouldn't be there. Everything. And I had a lot that I didn't know was there. And I was a good Christian girl. But I didn't know it was there because I didn't know why I was missing. I didn't know that I'd made idols out of people. I didn't know I'd made idols out of the word. I didn't know I'd made idols out of speakers. I didn't know that money was an idol. I didn't know that fear controlled me. I didn't know that I carried huge rejection. There was all sorts. I'm just being real. And bit by bit, when I said, make me real, he did it. So the thing was that once he started to make me real and shake me out, he didn't leave me in that, hey, let's just shake it all out of you. He was right there in the middle of it. Suddenly, I could hear him clearly. I had someone brought into my life who explained that I could actually audibly hear God in my head. I'm like, how do I know if the thought is my thought or his thought? And doesn't the devil speak to me? Oh, you know, freak out time. So I had to learn. I had to learn by experience and by giving time to hear God. And so I would journal, and I would take what I'd written to this wise old lady, and I'd say to her, do you think God said that? And she'd go, well, it lines up with scripture. You know, and she'd help me learn how to discern whether it was God or not. Do you feel condemned? Is it judging? Is there guilt? Is there, yeah? Or is it just conviction? And I learned how to hear the word of God. And then I realized, actually, although I'd always heard him in the word, now I was hearing him in the word. I would read stuff. It would jump out at me, and I knew that he was saying that to me today. And that is, what is it? Bob always says, hear me that your soul may live. When you hear, when you know you heard, it is. It's like instantly that seed starts growing inside. You can feel it. I mean, I can, telling you now, I can feel what goes on inside my gut. I mean, I'm talking tangible. I can feel life coming up because the Spirit is planted and rooted in me and in you. But sometimes we just don't know it, and it needs to be awakened. So I'm rambling. Anyway, just like those disciples, they were called. Jesus is asking us to follow him in the same way. And I think that there are some of us who've been called. Maybe he called us to something specific, and we didn't think we heard him. We weren't confident in hearing him, so we put it to one side. And now we're wondering where he's gone. It's because we need to go back to the word that he said, because he did say it. So I prayed into this. I said, Lord, what do you want me to say that's going to actually, it's very good to tell you all this, but how does it apply to you guys? What's the point of me speaking if you can't get home with something? And I felt he laid on my heart some of the things that he's called each of us, and including me in this, to. So I'm just going to read them out. I guess kind of like words of knowledge, but it's not specifically for individuals. But if it touches you, would you just, at the end, I'm going to pray a prayer and ask you to respond. If it resonates, just hold that thought for a minute. Whichever word it is I give, hold that one. And then when we pray at the end, we're going to respond. So I believe that he's calling some of us again today. Some of us have already responded to the call, but it all went a bit crazy. Actually, I just want to tell you, like the disciples, be encouraged. It's supposed to get a bit crazy. That's okay. You haven't missed it. The reality is, it's getting a bit crazy because you're getting closer. Keep running. Some of you have heard a call, didn't know you had. Some of you have never heard the call before. This morning he's calling you. So your heart, some of you, he's saying, I call you to give me your heart first. First. I'm just going to emphasize that. Give me your heart first. Not your spouse's heart, not your children's, not your friends, not that person who has influence on you. Him. Give him your heart first. And then all those other relationships, you'll have more love to love them. It's not a detriment to them, it's to help. I call you to give me your heart first. Choose to love me more than the ones you've made connections to in place of me, and I will set you in healthy relationships where there are boundaries of love, free from controlling or being controlled emotionally. Your time. I call you to give me your time first. Choose to prioritize around me, and I will be in all you have to do. Come aside with me in my presence. How can you be following me if you aren't getting to know me better relationally? Your lack of finances. I call you to give me your impoverished bank account and debts. View your lack as my problem and not yours. And I will enable you to steward the little that you have well. If you're faithful in those small things, I will trust you with much more. This season of lack can be turned into growth in ways you could have never expected. I can show you how I supply all your needs in ways that have nothing to do with your finances. Your abundant finances. I call you to give me your healthy bank account. Let me direct what happens to the money in the account. All that you've come out of my blessing you, view it as mine. I entrusted it with you to steward it well for me. I promise you, if you do that, it will always keep flowing. And when you hold on to it, you dam up my flow, and that won't profit you in the end. Finance or lack of, it's all mine. So let me teach you how to be good stewards rather than owners or debtors of finance. And then the kingdom finances will operate as they ought to. How about your plans? I call you to give me your plans. I have other plans for you. You know, I laid a people group on your heart years back. I feel like that was specifically someone. There was a people group that you used to have a burden for. He laid that on your heart. And you're still waiting for him to confirm it. He says, don't you see that heart's desire I set in you was your momentary connection to my purposes for your life? It's really simple. Think on that calling back then and now. Drop all you have been doing and follow me to see life change and my kingdom come. Unfulfilled promises and prophecies. I'm nearly there. I call you to give me those unfulfilled prophecies and promises. I don't lie. You don't need to see them come to pass to get to know me better. Actually, you need to get to know me better to know that I don't lie. And then you will know that my promises to you are so sure that they won't have to fill your thoughts with them so that they become distractions. That knowledge of my promise, being sure, will release you to wait patiently and be effective whilst you wait. For, though it tarries, believe, it will not tarry, but it will surely come to pass. Offense and distractions. I call you to give me the distractions you've had in your thinking and emotions concerning others around about you. Never mind what anyone else is doing. That's my responsibility, not yours. Just forgive, even as I've forgiven you. Offense is your responsibility, not theirs. If you're offended, you can change that by letting me have it. If they are offending, it's my job to change that. It's taken up so much of your time and energy, but now is a new day. Let it go. See, I am clearing out the stones that have been in the way, blocking you from coming close to me. Lay all down and just walk into my arms of grace, for I have so much for you that you've not been able to access while all of that was in your way. I'm calling you to a deep place of hearing me and following me, a place of peace and freedom and purity, from where all authority and purpose for your life will be accessed. That's it. I don't know if any of those touched any of you. I think most of those are relevant to me, possibly not both sides of the finance. But let's all stand, if that's okay. And if any of you are answering a call from him this morning, I'm going to read a prayer that he put on my heart. And if you could just repeat it with me, that would be great. Thank you. Jesus, I hear your call again. And I thank you for being gracious. Thank you for the moment we're entering into in this generation. And now a moment of new things. So I'm sorry where I haven't answered your call before. But today, right now, I choose to answer your call on my life and to live wholeheartedly for you. From now on, I invite your spirit to come and fill me, so that by your spirit, I can be in your presence, Jesus. I can drink with you, Jesus. Eat with you, listen to you, Jesus. Learn from you, Jesus. Talk to you, Jesus, as a friend. Sleep in the boat in the storm with you, Jesus. Oh, to become like you, Jesus. To go where you send me. To live for you, Jesus. To fall in love with you, Jesus. And to die to my own idea of life for you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus, right in this moment, in spirit and in truth. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Help me follow Jesus right now. Holy Spirit, come.